The fourth lesson comes from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. In the region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told to them. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Lord Christ. Please be seated. As I was thinking about Christmas Eve and this movement from the season of Advent into Christmas, and as I was contemplating the birth of Jesus, a Christmas song got stuck in my head. Fortunately, it was a song I liked. The song is "O Holy Night." This is a hymn that I have sung and listened to for as long as I can remember. But this week is the first time I really thought about some of those words. And I especially was reflecting on part of that first verse, the words, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth." Now I have a little disclaimer. Those words actually are not a very good translation of the original French poem. They come from a translation and an interpretation by John Sullivan Dwight in the 1850s. That said, the fact that these words have stuck with us in English for so long suggests that this interpretation, while not accurate, has meaning in itself. The words that initially grabbed my attention were these, "and the soul felt its worth." Am I the only one that just sang those words and didn't think about what they were saying? Six words that I had never paid attention to before now had me captivated. And then it occurred to me that our souls feel their worth when we recognize the lengths to which God has gone to redeem our souls. Put more directly, we have worth. Our souls have worth because God has declared it so. And then as these words kept playing in my mind, I was also really moved by the imagery of people pining for forgiveness, pining for the presence of God, pining to be set free from the sin of this world. The experience of humanity longing for a hope that only this tiny baby could bring. Hope that even in the midst of the chaos and difficulties of this world, something greater exists. The message of Christmas is something greater exists. The love of God that cannot be stopped by empires, cannot be stopped by viruses, cannot even be stopped by death. It is this story, one of God breaking into our world, into the midst of our weakness, into the midst of the chaos, into the midst of challenges and difficulties, and of course, into the midst of our joys and celebrations, the story of the hope that we long for, allowing our souls to feel their worth. It is this story that we have come to hear again and celebrate tonight. When we were here last, 2 long years ago, I don't think anyone could have predicted how difficult life was about to become for so many. At times like this, we can look at Luke's description of the coming of Christ into this world and see that it is a story filled with characters who were also dealing with troubles and challenges. I think of Joseph, who finds himself becoming a father to a child who was not biologically his. He was a Jew living under Roman rule, residing not far from a town that had been recently destroyed and plundered by the Syrians. And now he is forced to travel with Mary, worrying about her, worrying about the baby she is carrying on this trip, because, frankly, the timing of this registration was not very good for Mary. Joseph, a carpenter who probably predicted a quiet life, working with wood and raising a family in Nazareth. I think about Mary making this difficult and uncomfortable journey while very pregnant with her very first child, not knowing what the trip would bring, not knowing when the baby might decide to come, not knowing who would be able to help her birth that child. And then reaching their destination to find that Bethlehem was already full beyond capacity. She's about to give birth to the Son of God, no less, and there is no seemingly safe place to do this, except a barn, one with animals and animal smells and animal sounds. I also think about the people of Bethlehem, now completely inundated with visitors ordered to be there to register in this census, their routines disturbed, and their roads and inns and stables overcrowded. And of course, we can't forget the shepherds, young men who did not have an easy life, wandering and herding sheep, moving constantly. Those shepherds minding their business and minding their sheep, likely getting ready to rest after a long, hard day, only to be frightened out of their wits by an angel, who is then joined by more angels. These are characters and stories that are reminders that Jesus was born for ordinary people just like us, living, loving, struggling, laughing, and doing the best we can to get from day to day. The marvel of this night is that God wasn't born into a family with religious or political power. God took on flesh in the womb of a teenage girl betrothed to a carpenter. The surprise of this night is that the first witnesses weren't Emperor Augustus or Governor Quirinius or any other important people of the time, but instead were the simple shepherds. The revelation of this night is that heaven and earth have come together, have collided, not in a temple or an important government building or even in some wealthy person's estate, but in a manger with no one around except some animals, some shepherds, and a young couple just starting their meager lives together. The wonder of this night is that those whom the world would lift up as mighty and important are on the outside of this story. And those this world would consider inconsequential are at the very center. Christ has come as Emmanuel, God with us, to show us what is truly important, that we are loved totally and completely by God, and in response are to love God and to love each other. On this most holy night, we have gathered to hear the familiar stories of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, of the sacred birth that happens in a manger in Bethlehem, of the angels who sing of this birth, and of the shepherds who are the first witness. I pray that this celebration of Christ's birth, of heaven and earth coming together, of God taking on human flesh to be among us, I pray that this will renew your spirit and allow your soul to recognize its worth tonight and always, and that this recognition will send you out into the world, praising and glorifying God like the angels, and sharing this amazing story like the shepherds, this story of God's love and peace and grace for all. Amen.